الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، very all praise and the glory is due to Allah. It is due to Him and Him alone. We praise Allah, we seek His forgiveness, and we ask Him for His mercy. And we testify that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship but Allah. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and final messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah, the fear that he is most deserving of you. And do not die unless you are in the state of Al-Islam. Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, we ask Allah to bless our gathering and to make it beneficial to all of us. Our topic today is about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And I want to stress a fact that I referred to in my last khutbah. That when we talk about these great personalities, when we explore their lives, we are not just narrating stories. We talk about them to learn lessons from their lives and to follow them as role models. And Abu Bakr Siddiq is the greatest after the prophets, the best man to ever walk the earth after the prophets of Allah. And when you are exposed to the life and the personality of Abu Bakr Siddiq, you'll find that his personality is amazing. It's surprising. Because whenever you pull out a list of good deeds, you will find Abu Bakr as-Siddiq on top of this list. He was the first Muslim. He was the first Khalifa. He was the first and the only one to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hijrah. And he was the first in Iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Iman, the faith of Abu Bakr is greater than the Iman of all the Ummah. Even on issues that we regard as normal deeds, you'll find him on top. You'll find him the first. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid and asked the Sahaba, who is fasting this day? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, I am. Who followed the janazah this day? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, I did. Who visited an ill person this day? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, I did. Who has given out sadaqah this day? Abu Bakr said, I did. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if these deeds are combined in one person, that person would go to the Jannah. That person will go to the Jannah. The Sahaba was looking around in the masjid, and every hand that's looking up was the hand of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, huwa as-sabbaq. He is the first. And whenever we compete with him, he would come ahead of us. So keep in mind that competition in good is good. Competition in good deeds is a good deed. Actually, talking about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq needs many, many khutbas, many, many speeches. And the time is not enough to, time is limited to talk about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq or his life, his personality, his caliphate. It's impossible. So, I will talk about a few mawaqif in the life of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And the word mawaqif literally means standing points, critical situations in his life. These critical situations in the life of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq or critical situations in the life of anyone may take moments. But this moment may change the course of your life. And these critical situations was not critical in the life of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq only, but was critical situations in the life of the entire Ummah. And we will talk about four or three standing points in the life of this great man. The first standing point was his Islam, the Islam of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Everyone was invited to Islam, everyone. Took some time to think about it. Moments, hours, days, months, even years. Khalid ibn Walid took years to think about Islam. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is an exception. As soon as the message was presented to him, immediately he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Allah has sent me as a messenger to warn mankind, and I invite you to Islam, immediately, without hesitation, without second thought, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ibn Kathir talked about the Islam of Abu Bakr in Al-Bidaya or Al-Nihaya, and he said, the first woman to become Muslim was Khadija radiallahu anha. The first boy to become Muslim was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. The first slave to become Muslim was Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. And the first free man to become Muslim was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Then he said, وَإِسْلَامُهُ كَانَ أَنْفَعْ مِنْ إِسْلَامِ مَنْ تَخَدَّمَ ذِكْرُهُمْ إِذْ كَانَ صَدْرًا مُعَظَّمًا رَئِيسًا فِي قُرَيْشِ مُكَرَّمًا وَصَاحِبَ مَالٍ وَدَاعِيَ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وكان يبذل المال في طاعة الله ورسوله. He said, the Islam of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was more beneficial to religion than the Islam of all the above. Because he was a nobleman, a leader among Quraysh, and he was rich, colored to Islam, friendly, likable, approachable, and he used his nobility, his skills, his wealth for the service of the religion and for the service of Allah and His Messenger. And after Abu Bakr Siddiq became Muslim, he started directly to call others to Islam. And look at the names whom Abu Bakr Siddiq invited to Islam. Uthman ibn Affan, Al-Zubayr ibn Al-Awwam, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. All of these names, all of these five names, are among the 10 who were given glad tidings with Jannah, who were given good news of paradise. And all of these great names, all of these great people, came to Islam through the da'wah of Abu Bakr Siddiq. So every good deed they do, a copy of it would go into the account of Abu Bakr Siddiq on the Day of Judgment. The next standing point in the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq is happened after the event of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj is the amazing journey of the Prophet to Jerusalem and his ascension to heaven. I'm going to go through this briefly, and I hope to talk about Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj in detail in a special khutbah. When Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj happened, the people of Quraysh, being the materialistic people, secular people, who only believe in what their eyes can see, their ears can hear, and their hands can touch, couldn't believe in Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. They made a joke out of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. They made fun of it, and they thought that this was their chance to bring an end to Islam. They thought that the Muslims will give up Islam because their Prophet is insane. So one of the believers went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and said to him, "Do you know what your friend is claiming? He's claiming that he went to Jerusalem and came back at the same night." Listen to the response of Abu Bakr Siddiq. If Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had weak iman, he would say, "This is not true. This isn't true. This didn't happen." And if Abu Bakr Siddiq is a man that could be deceived easily, he would say, "Yes, that happened." But he said in a brief statement, "إن كان قالها فقد صدق." إن كان قالها فقد صدق. If he said so, then that's the truth. These few words were very important during that time. Why? These words closed all the doors before the believers to bring an end to Islam. Closed all the doors before the believers to make Muslims doubt in the truthfulness and the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard the reaction of Abu Bakr, the response of Abu Bakr, he said about Abu Bakr, he gave Abu Bakr Siddiq the title of a Siddiq. He was given the title of a Siddiq after this event, after Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. And Al-Siddiq means the true believing person, or the person who never doubted anything reported by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another critical situation in the life of the Abu Bakr and the life of the entire Ummah was in Hijrah. You know that he was the friend of the Prophet, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hijrah. And when the Prophet told him that he will be his companion in this journey, Aisha said, "I have never seen a man crying out of happiness as I have seen my father cry on this day." Why he was so happy to accompany the Prophet in this journey? You know the implication of this journey. The least punishment, if you were captured with the Prophet in this journey, was execution. Abu Bakr Siddiq could be killed within the next few hours, but he was so happy. He was so happy because this journey was a chance for him, was an opportunity to be for many days with the Prophet without anyone with them, and a chance for him to drink from the fountain of prophethood. And when they were in the cave of Thawr, Ghar Thawr, actually they were hiding in Ghar Thawr, and the disbelievers were frantically looking for them. So when they came, Abu Bakr Siddiq saw them and looked to their feet, and said the Prophet, "O Messenger of Allah, if any one of them looked beneath his feet, he would see us." The Prophet said to him, "O Abu Bakr, we are two, and Allah is our third." And that's when the ayah repeats, Allah repeats the ayah, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. So, if you do not aid him, Allah says, if you do not aid him, Allah has already aided him when the slavers of Mecca have driven him out. Have driven him out the second of two. When they were in the cave, he said to his companion, do not grieve. Indeed, Allah is with us. And Abu Bakr Siddiq mentioned in the Quran as sahibu, the companion. And this great honor, this is the greatest honor to be mentioned in the Quran as the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sorry, I will jump to the next standpoint. This is the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a great disaster to the Ummah till this moment. And the situation of Abu Bakr in this event was very, very great. And I will explain it in detail. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from Hajjat al-Wada', the farewell pilgrimage, he became ill. But his illness was not severe. So, he was able to deliver speeches, was able to lead Muslims in prayer, in Salat al-Jama'ah, but he was actually ill. So, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said that once the Prophet ﷺ was delivering a speech and he said, the Prophet ﷺ said in this speech, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ قَدْ خَيَّرَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِهِ بَيْنَ الدُّنْيَا وَبَيْنَ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَاخْتَارَ ذَلِكَ الْعَبْدُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَبَكَى أَبُو بَكْرٍ فعجبنا لبكائه أن يخير رسول الله بين أن يخبر رسول الله عن عبد خير فكان رسول الله هو المخير وكان أبو بكر أعلمنا. Then he said, إن أمن الناس علي في صحبته وماله أبو بكر ولو كنت متخذا خليلا غير ربي لاتخذت أبا بكر ولكن أخوة الإسلام ومودته لا يبقين في المسجد باب إلا ست إلا باب أبي بكر. The Prophet said, Allah has given one of his slaves a choice between this world and between what Allah had with him. And this slave preferred what Allah had with him. Abu Bakr wept. And then we wondered, why Abu Bakr wept? But the slave who was given the choice was the Prophet ﷺ himself. And Abu Bakr later told us, the narrator of hadith saying, and Abu Bakr told us, then the Prophet said, the one who has done me the greatest favor through his friendship to me and his wealth, is Abu Bakr. And if I were to take an intimate friend besides my Lord, I would take Abu Bakr. But between us, the brotherhood of Islam and its love, block off all the doors in the masjid, except the door of Abu Bakr. What did the Prophet mean by لا يبقين في المسجد باب إلا سد, or block off the doors, except the door of Abu Bakr? Actually, a few number of the Sahaba built their houses next to the walls of the masjid. And they opened small doors, private doors, in the walls of the masjid so that they could immediately come from their houses to the masjid. So the Prophet said, I want all of these doors to be closed, except the door of Abu Bakr. This is a privilege that only goes to Abu Bakr Siddiq. The illness of the Prophet ﷺ was getting worse and he was unable to lead Muslims in Salat al-Jama'ah. So he said, instruct Abu Bakr, Muru Abu Bakr falyusalli binnas. Instruct Abu Bakr to be the Imam in Salah. And Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari uses this as evidence that Abu Bakr was the greatest scholar in this Ummah. Abu Bakr Siddiq actually led the Muslims in prayer for a few days while the Prophet ﷺ was still alive. And on Monday, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal in Salat al-Fajr, the Prophet ﷺ stood up and opened the curtain between his house, between the room of Aisha and the masjid to take a look at the Muslims. And he saw the masjid is full. The Muslims in Salat Fajr, and Abu Bakr Siddiq is reciting the Quran. So he smiled, the Prophet smiled. Happiness appeared on his face. And the narrator said, the face of the Prophet became like a plate of silver. It was shining with light. The Prophet was so happy because he saw the fruit of his harvest. He saw the success of his mission. Now he can trust the Sahaba with responsibility. Now he felt that he is ready to leave. When the Muslims saw the Prophet, they were about to forget their prayer from happiness. After Salat al-Fajr, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq thought that the Prophet is getting better. So he went to a sunnah on the outskirts of Medina to his second wife. But actually the Prophet was towards the last hours in his life. The Prophet was towards the last hours in his life. On Monday, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. And let me narrate the last moment in the life of the Prophet ﷺ in Arabic, then I will translate them into English. وَلَمَّا اشْتَدَّتْ سَكَرَاتُ الْمَوْتِ بِالنَّبِيِّ I'm sorry. وَلَمَّا اشْتَدَّتْ سَكَرَاتُ الْمَوْتِ بِالنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ أُسَامَةُ بْنُ زَيْدٍ وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَدْ صَمَتْ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ فجعل يرفع يديه إلى السماء ثم يضعها على أسامة فعرف أنه يدعو له وأخذته السيدة عائشة وأوسدته إلى صدرها بين سحرها ونحرها ثم دخل عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر وفي يده سواك فجعل رسول الله ينظر إلى السواك فقالت عائشة رضي الله عنها آخذه لك فأشار الرسول برأسه نعم فأخذت عائشة السواك من أخيها ثم مضغته ولينته وناولته لرسول الله فأخذه رسول الله فاستاك به كأحسن ما يكون للسياك كل ذلك هو لا ينفك عن قوله في الرفيق الأعلى في الرفيق الأعلى وكان بجانبه علبة فيها ماء فجعل يمسح وجهه ويقول لا إله إلا الله إن للموت سكرات وفي رواية اللهم أعني على سكرات الموت اللهم أعني على سكرات الموت ثم نصب يده وجعل يقول في الرفيق الأعلى في الرفيق الأعلى حتى مالت يده وقبض رسول الله. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was in As-Sunnah. He received the news. He came, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq from As-Sunnah. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq جاء من As-Sunnah عندما علم بالخبر ودخل على رسول الله قاصدا بيت عائشة ودخل على رسول الله فوجده مغشى بثوب حبرة فكشف عن وجهه وقبله وبكى ثم قال بأبي أنت وأمي والله لا يجمع الله عليك موتتين أما الموتة التي كتبت عليك فقد متها تبت حيا وميتا يا رسول الله تبت حيا وميتا يا رسول الله. When the burden of the earnest took its toll on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, أسامة بن زيد came in and the Prophet was unable to speak, so he would raise his hand to the heaven and put it on Usama. He was making dua for Usama. Then Aisha held the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her arms, between the top and the bottom of her chest. And while she was holding the Prophet in her lap, her brother Abdul Rahman came in with a miswak in his hand. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the miswak, and Aisha asked him, "Do you want it?" The Prophet nodded by his head, "Yes, I want it." So Aisha chewed the miswak until she made it soft and gave it to the Prophet. The Prophet brushed his teeth as if he was healthy. And during this, he kept on saying, the highest companion, the highest companion, which means, I want to be my highest companion. I want to be with Allah. I prefer to be with Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ raised his hand and said, the highest companion, until his hand went down. And these were actually the last words of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ died. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came from As-Sunnah directly to the room of Aisha and uncovered the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and kissed him, kissed his forehead and wept and said, "O Messenger of Allah, you are pure when you are alive and you are pure when you are dead." What was the reaction of the Muslims after the death of the Prophet? And here, this is a standing point. This is a critical situation in the life of Abu Bakr and the life of the Ummah. يقول ابن رجب الحنبلي رجل حنبلي said about the death of the Prophet, وَلَمَّا قُبِضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ اضطرب المسلمون فمنهم من دهش فخلق، ومنهم من أقعد فلنطق القيام، ومنهم من اعتقل لسانه فلنطق الكلام، ومنهم من أنكر موته بالكلية. والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم died. The Muslims, when he died, a chaotic siege happened. Some of the Muslims started to hallucinate. They didn't know what they were saying. Some of them sat down and they couldn't stand up. Some of them, their tongues couldn't move and they couldn't speak. And some of them denied the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. Like Umar ibn al-Khattab who said, مَا مَاتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا وَاعَدَهُ رَبُّهُ كَمَا وَاعَدَ مُوسَى وَلِيَرْجَعَنَّا فَلِيُقَطِّعَنَّا أَيْدِيَ رِجَالٍ وَأَرْجُلِهِمْ. Umar went as far as claiming that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't die. And he went to meet his Lord for 40 days and will come back to cut the feet and the armies of the people who claimed that he died. But Abu Bakr Siddiq said to the Sahaba in the Masjid, من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. Then he recited the ayah, وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. If you were worshipping Muhammad, Muhammad is dead. And if you are worshipping Allah, Allah is alive. He never dies. And then he recited Ayah 144 in Surah Al-Imran. Muhammad is no more than a messenger. Indeed, messenger passed away before him. Then, if he was to die or to be killed, would you turn back on your heels to unbelief? And he who turns back on his heels will never harm Allah, and Allah will reward those who are grateful. Umar said, when I heard Abu Bakr Siddiq, my legs failed to carry me, and I fell down on my knees, and I realized that the Prophet ﷺ died. And the narrator said, you can only hear crying in the masjid. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العلي العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The Sahaba after consultation elected Abu Bakr Siddiq to be the successor, the caliph, the khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the caliphate of the Muslims. And I will mention to you the inaugural speech, the first speech that Abu Bakr Siddiq delivered when he became caliph. And I will not comment on his speech. I will leave the comment to you. So ponder, contemplate what he said. أما بعد فإني قد وليت عليكم ولست بخيركم. أما بعد أيها الناس فإني قد وليت عليكم ولست بخيركم. فإن أحسنت فأعينوني وإن أسأت فقوموني. الصدق أمانة والكذب خيانة. والضعيف فيكم قوي عندي حتى أرجع عليه حقه إن شاء الله. والقوي فيكم ضعيف عندي حتى آخذ الحق منه إن شاء الله. أطيعوني ما أطعت الله ورسوله، فإن عصيت الله ورسوله فلا طاعة لي عليكم. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله. الصديق said, O people, I have been put on authority over you, and I am not the best of you. So if I do the right thing, then help me. And if I do wrong, then put me straight. Truthfulness is a sacred trust, and lying is a betrayal. The weak among you is strong as far as I'm concerned until I restore to him his right. And the strong one of you is weak until I take from him what's due. Inshallah. Obey me as long as I obey Allah and his messenger. But if I disobey Allah and his messenger, then you do not owe me obedience. Stand up for your prayer. May Allah have mercy upon you. This was his speech. The last standing point in this khutbah, but not in the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq, was when some delegates came to Medina, some delegates from the Arab tribes, and told Abu Bakr Siddiq that they will not pay zakah anymore. And zakah is the due, is the right of the poor and the third pillar of Islam. When Abu Bakr Siddiq consulted the Sahaba, almost all of them advised him to be lenient with these tribes, not to face them because the condition was not suitable. But he stood firmly against all the Sahaba, and it turned out that he was right. He said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أُقَاتِلَنَّ مَنْ فَرَّكَ بَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ فَإِنَّ الزَّكَاةَ حَقُّ الْمَالِ وَاللَّهِ لَوْ مَنَعُونِي عِنَاقًا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ عِقَالًا كَانُوا يَؤَدُّونَهُ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَقَاتَلْتُهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَنَعِهَا. He said, I will fight whoever differentiates between zakah and salah. And if they prevented me, a camel, one camel, and another narration, a tie that you tie the neck, a rope that you tie the neck of the camel with, if they prevented me that, and they used to pay it to the Prophet, I will fight them over it. Umar ibn Khattab said to him, يا خليفة رسول الله تألف الناس وفق بهم. O successor of the Messenger of Allah, close people, bring and be lenient with them. What he said to Umar? He grabbed his beard and said to him, يا ابن الخطاب أجبار في الجاهلية خوار في الإسلام. O son of a Khattab, before you became Muslim you were tyrant, and after you became Muslim you want to be weak, feeble. قد انقطع الوحي وتم الدين أينقص وأنا حي. The revelation has stopped and the religion has been left with the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم complete. Do you think that I allow religion to diminish while I am still alive? Umar said, when I saw the conviction of Abu Bakr, I realized that this was the truth. And Abu Bakr Siddiq succeeded in facing all these tribes and the apostates, and succeeded to unify the Arabian Peninsula again under the banner of Islam. Now the death of Abu Bakr Siddiq. The main concern of Abu Bakr Siddiq when he became ill was to appoint a caliph after him, a successor to him. So he appointed Umar ibn Khattab as his successor. After consulting the Sahaba, appointed him. And he said to Aisha, what day did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam die? She said to him, on a Monday. Abu Bakr said, and this is a Monday. So I think that this is my last day. And here we have a very interesting thing. Abu Bakr Siddiq was very keen to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet. His whole Khilafah was an example of following the Sunnah. And it seems that he wanted to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet in his death. And so he expected to die in the same day, on the same day as Rasulullah ﷺ died. And it happened. He died on Monday, and Rasulullah ﷺ died on Monday. He died at the age of 63, and Rasulullah ﷺ died in the age of 63. So he followed the Rasulullah ﷺ in his life and in his death. And the last words that Abu Bakr Siddiq said in this dunya was, تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَالْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. O my Lord, take me as a Muslim and join me with the righteous. He meant by the righteous his closest friend Muhammad ﷺ and the Sahaba who passed away before him. His caliphate was two years, 3 months and 10 days, and his grave would be in the room of Aisha next to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. And out of respect to the Prophet ﷺ, his head was placed at the same level as the shoulder of the Prophet ﷺ. So he didn't been buried next right to the Prophet, but little behind him, out of respect of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إننا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد وقرة عين لا تنقطع ولذة النظر إلى وجهك ومرافقة نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في جنات النعيم. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم انك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم. واقم الصلاه.